introduce yourself, please? And I'll get our levels and stuff.
Okay. Aloha. My name's Naomi Chu. I'm Vice President of Asset for Arts-Based Projects.
What does that mean, you do?
Well, I actually started working in ArtSpace in 1997.
Okay.
So I have worn lots of different hats.
How long has ArtSpace been around?
ArtSpace has been around since 1979.
Okay.
And when we first, we're a nonprofit, yeah? And so as a nonprofit, when we first opened our doors, we were just a referral agency. And I shouldn't say just. We were based and headquartered in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And when we first started, artists would come and be referred, and we'd tell them where they could go and rent. And then quickly what happened is the artists kept coming back because they were being displaced, because the rents would go up. And so there was a shift, before I started, obviously, but a shift to actually becoming the first real estate developer for the arts to use low-income housing tax credits to do our work. And so since then, we've really grown nationally.
I see. That is a really cool way to have started, Rootsy. What would you say is the central kind of realization that drives the work?
Well, we're a nonprofit, and our mission is to create, foster, and preserve affordable and sustainable space for artists and arts organization.
Why?
Why? Well, and that's the thing, because there is such a need. There's a need for affordable housing generally, right? And but it's really, how can I say it? The way I tell the story, so my words, is there's such a need, first of all, arts, artisans, culture bearers, practitioners. It's such an important thing. Art is around us every single day, every place you go. And so for me, we're in our mission, by creating space for artists, we are creating a place for artists to live, to work, to call home. And that allows these amazing creative individuals to focus on their artwork. And so when ArtSpace changed and we grew nationally from being Minnesota-based to having 50 projects across the U.S., when that happened, it was always at the invitation of communities, and I've watched it grow and evolve to invitations by state entities or local city entities. And so in this case, on Oahu, it was really Vicki Holt-Takamini, Auntie Vicki, who had a vision, saw one of our projects, had a vision to bring ArtSpace, an ArtSpace project, to Oahu. And that's how we ended here. And that's true of all of our, how can I say it, all of our projects.
How does it actually work? I remember she was so excited after seeing your projects in Seattle.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
She came back here. So, it's been 10 years, as
right.
You well know.
Right.
So what was this process?
Well, the process, it was really...
Tell it to me so that people listening can figure out how to do it in their communities.
Well, I should. Yes, I will explain it to you. We also do a lot of consulting work. And part of that, it doesn't mean that we're going to do a project there, but that is one department of ArtSpace, of how we can share best practices and not so much tell people how to do it, but just maybe how to structure. And so in the case here with Ola Kailima ArtSpace Lofts, Vicki Holt-Takamini invited ArtSpace to come. She took great steps to introduce us to not only Oahu, but across the islands. I, sadly, was not part of those early visits. There was a strong connection between both our organization, ArtSpace, and Pai'i under Vicki with the Ford Foundation. And so there was already starting to be that right, the right mixture, the right weaving together of parties, of people who were interested in this. But in a more technical way, because we are nonprofit real estate developers focused for the arts, but in that process, we have, how can I say it? Standard practices or best practices that we use to establish and identify whether a project is viable. So it begins with community, individuals, invitation, whatever the local community, it begins with that desire, that vision, and then it moves into doing a market study and establishing the need and identifying through survey work, if we build this, would artists want to move in? Do they need affordable space? Is there enough? And the percentages, this is not my particular expertise, but there are formulas to assess, yes, there is not only a need, there's a great need. And then it moves into really
identifying. Is that what you found in Honolulu?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And
so after you establish need.
Right. After we establish need, then it is identifying a site, a mm-hmm. location. And that's also done. I mean, all of our projects come together out of an array of support, whether it's philanthropic, government, local community, and they are not successful, although we always persevere, we're always around until we get it done, but we need the right combination of an array of people to bring a project together. So even in identifying a site, you know, and I am not the expert in this. Greg Hamburg, our Senior Vice President of Development, would be a great person to talk to about this, but in identifying a location and the viability of a location, meaning not only do we have to identify it and have agreement, you know, whether it's HHFDC or, you know, in this case,
HHFDC.
Tony Ching, am I mispronouncing
right.
the acronyms?
Oh, no.
Because this land, see, this is where
community development.
Community.
It's the community development.
Okay.
Not corporations. It's a special community development area there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're talking specifically about Honolulu now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but in general, yes, who owns the land becomes a first step.
Right.
Of
who
whether
owned
or not
that
we can,
land?
Well, and this is where I will talk out of turn because I started in 2011 on Hawaii, but I thought it was the HHFDC. I uh-huh. thought that we had to have various conversations. There
so
were lots of
land.
Different sites that were looked for, including, you know, conversations with Kamehameha Schools. Mm-hmm. I'm not so mm-hmm. great with this part of the story, but in all of our locations, and certainly here, you know, it's identifying potential pieces of land, and then whether or not there is the ability to negotiate, purchase, do a long-term lease. It can all vary. But once the location is identified, then the project really moves into a pre-development phase of starting to put together the numbers because the land and where we will build. And sometimes we're doing historic reuse. We do combined construction, new construction, historic reuse. Here, Ola Kailima is new construction. So in that case, then it's then starting to put together the performas and applying for tax credits. I believe in this case, it was a bond deal. And those take steps. And you have to then fall within the requirements and the priorities of a state, and the stars have to align. And we are very, very competent and skilled at our work, but what our development team does is really crunch and put together the numbers as well as building relationships that we always hope to carry beyond, because people who support our projects, doesn't matter what walk of life they come from, there's a little heart in supporting artists or supporting our work or seeing what kind of unique and new creative community when you put, in this case, you know, 84 households in the same place. And so there's that little bit of magic. There's a little bit of blessing to get all of these complicated, filling out various tax credit applications, numerous banks, the whole financing piece of using low-income house tax credits, which is how we do our work, then is also then filled in the gap because of the amazing spaces we create. The gap is filled in philanthropically. And so there have been a number of foundations, both national and local, that have supported Ola Kailima's development.
Who are they?
I have some of them. And so, you know, forgive me if I miss some of them. But,
sure.
You know, certainly the state of Hawaii. I worked on that legislature.
Okay.
We got GIA funding for that, the city of Honolulu.
How much was that?
I believe it was over several years. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to step on anyone's toes, but over 3 years, the state of Hawaii invested $3.3 million into this project. And this is a $53 million project. But it's also the City of Honolulu, nationally the National Endowment for the Arts, nationally the Ford Foundation, locally Atherton Family Foundation, the Cook Family Foundation, Ward Village Foundation, and Art Place. In addition...
Art Place, you mean...
Art Place in a national... We're Art Space with an S, but Art Place is a national funding foundation.
I see. Another nonprofit?
Yeah. Well, it's changed, but originally when Art Place was created, it was a consortium of national foundations. And that was a while ago, you know. And actually, I do have that. Art Place is a consortium of 13 leading national foundations and 6 of the nation's largest banks. Put on top of that, the federal and state low-income housing tax credits coupled with state rental housing revolving funds, and, you know, that brought us into where we are today. And so I'm super excited to be at this phase of the project. It takes vision, it takes community, and we may have the expertise in terms of physically developing, and we bring our best knowledge and passion to the communities we create, but it does not happen. Not without local support, not with, it becomes everyone's all in, because developments are not easy. We're not for profit. We're not trying to make any money here. We just really want good, solid, safe, and sustainable housing, and our projects are in perpetuity. We have no intention of ever flipping or selling, you know, because the stories I hear in Oahu, it's just we are not your typical developer here. And even though we're from the mainland, you know, and we know we're from the mainland, and in all of the communities we work in, you know, we're from outside, but it is because we're welcomed in, and it is because people learn and trust, and they grow to just know. When we say this is what we're here to do, there's no other agenda. We create good, safe, affordable housing for artists. And in my work, in the asset team, it's really helping foster and sustain that community, because this is not just, it is rental housing. We're asked so often here, for sale? It's like, no, it's definitely rental housing.
So Art Space will own it.
We own it we are co-developing with EAH Housing. So both of us as developers, Art Space Projects and EAH Housing, are co-developers in this deal. We are the general managing partner, which means we will oversee its operations.
Mm-hmm. And who owns the development then?
Both of you.
Yeah. Okay.
But in the context, you know, it gets complicated, and mm-hmm. I don't know if this mm-hmm. is too much for your viewers to understand, but when you use low-income housing tax credits, they're investors. That's an investment tool in terms of your taxes. So that is managed by investors. And, well, if you were looking at the financial deal, you know, 99% of the project is funded by I'd have to look at an organizational chart, but it's, you know, through the investors, through the low-income housing tax credits that are managed by various entities, that's the majority of the ownership. But this is until the tax credits run out. And I am so speaking out of turn, because really Greg Hamburg could describe this so much better. So you might want to use that, and you know, you might want to talk to him too. But essentially, as a general managing partner, we own and operate it. But it is EAH and Art Space.
Mm-hmm. You know, sorry to put you through that. You probably didn't think you would have to, and I may not be able to use that, but some people are going to be very, very interested in how exactly this happened.
Yeah. Because the way we do our projects is with low-income housing tax credit. I can say this with confidence. It is connected to HUD. So when it comes to what we're doing right now, which is leasing up, we need to get more artists, all that stuff, you know, when it comes to that, it's, you know, we're always very clear when we're out in community or we're doing info sessions, is HUD sets what the maximum incomes can be to qualify to move in, and that's based on the area median income. And then in addition, on an annual basis, HUD, and then through the City and County of Honolulu, you know, these are public things that come out each year, but HUD also then sets the rents. And so in our projects, you know, this project has 30, 50, and 60% area median incomes in terms of how we set the rent and how we set the maximum incomes, all being managed by EH Housing. But we always try and tell people, you know, we don't just pull the rents out of a hat.
No.
It's very much mandated by the financing and how we put the project together.
You know, I'm really curious about that because I was looking at the numbers. Even 60% AMI here in Honolulu, I think they were talking about a family, was going to be about $57,000 a year. You know, that is really low.
Right now we want everyone to just come in and apply because applications are available.
Mm-hmm. Those income guidelines are set in stone.
Well, the income guidelines that we have on our application are based on 2018. So are our estimated rents when we're putting that out there. They're based on 2018 HUD figures. So they will shift when this project opens because it's going to open. You know, we're going to start moving people in May. And
wow.
That will be right after the shift. But we don't, you know, what we understand is that those numbers are not supposed to increase significantly. So probably, I don't know if that helps or hurts, but uh-huh. Helps in terms of the rent,
yeah.
Hurts mm-hmm. in terms of what you're talking about for income requirements.
Mm-hmm. What's the monthly, you know, what is it, condo fee, or is there one?
There's no condo fee.
There's it's no condo fee.
Right. These are straight rental mm-hmm. leasing.
Okay.
And the rents are everything but electric. And then there's laundry facilities. Yeah, and I'd love to take, you know, window to describe that, but I also want to make sure while we're talking that I really describe what we mean by artist and about our artist preference.
Oh, please.
Is that a good time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent.
Because we are always asked in our work, you know, how do you define an artist? What does it mean to be an artist? And it's so important that we share this message. We define artists broadly, inclusively, all art forms. And that's why we're particularly clear here that it's artists, artisan, and culture bearers. This means it could be tattoo artists, writers, poets, dancers, singers, musicians, graphic designers, architects.
Could it be my child?
Yes, yes. And we're always very clear to make sure people know that our projects are mandated to allow for an artist preference. Giving that preference is to any member in the household. So I love in some of our buildings, and thank you, because I always say in this community, it doesn't mean that the adult, the parent, the auntie, the uncle, you know, it doesn't mean they have to be an artist. It can be the child. It can be the Kiki. You know, it can, you know, anyone in the household can be an artist. And it's been so fun when we watch some of our, these families that come in and they have the young artists, and they're like, oh, you know, my child just loves to dance. And so then there's a whole process that we go through to give that preference. And it's fun. It's supposed to be more like a talk story, you know, just share your art form. And so then we'll ask the child about that. And what's even more exciting is then in some of our projects, I've watched the kids go, well, can I join the garden committee? I'm like, well, you know, we're going to ask the other grown-ups here, but does anyone care, you know, if this 6-year-old wants to be on the garden committee? She has great
garden
ideas.
Committee.
And they always say, "Yes,
we would
love that." And we've, you know, we've had kids, you know, do little petitions in the building. Anyways, we have artists in our building can be as young as I've met artists in our building as young as 5 years old and as old as 90 years old. And you can imagine how much it changes in terms of community, in terms of family, and just because of the cross-pollination and the energy and just the way our buildings operate.
It is
not.
How is that, though? Come on. We don't know. You've already seen this magic thing happen. It's like ink dropped into a bowl of water. We don't know what this is, what can happen. Give us an idea. I mean, tell me about one project that's working well and how it got to that point.
Yeah, well, and we have so many projects, but I'm trying to think of what story comes together. We have projects that have just opened, just filled in New Orleans, in Memphis, in Mesa, Arizona. And when it comes to kids and just kind of the activity, I think Mesa comes most recently in mind because we're just planning our grand opening for January, so I was just out there. And in Mesa, Arizona, it's 50 units, kind of an open courtyard, in Kaka'ako, it's going to be raised courtyard, but open courtyard, all new artists, all different ages. The story I told about two little girls who want to be on the garden committee is from Mesa. But, all of these artists go through the artist selection interview and they're so nervous and they just want to move in. And several people, and I want to, some people were certainly coming from homelessness. Other people were coming from their parents' house. Other people were coming from other units. So it's always a big shift because you want this housing and it's like, it's so hard because we can't like hold it open. So lots of individual stories, lots of sharing of really personal experiences. So here they're all here and everyone's finally moved in and it happened over a couple months and we have our early meetings and we say, hey, this is how, this is your community, this is your place, but we're here to help and ArtSpace and certainly in our asset team, the asset managers assigned to our projects, they don't go away. It's not like we go, oh, everyone's moved in. See you in 5 years or when I feel like coming. No, the asset team visits regularly and certainly in the first year of a project and certainly in planning towards the grand opening. And so in the early meetings, several of us, because I joined a couple asset managers, including the lead one. Anyways, we came in and just talked story with the artists and said, this is how we have suggest creating community here and finding some structure. We need you. We like to say we require, but we need you to now become the artist selection committee. We're going to step back, and the community who helped us interview you steps out. You will now be the artist selection committee, only 3 to 5 people. You'll interview future artists, and you know what that is because you've been through the process, but that's how we give the preference. And then we say, look at this amazing community space. In Olakai'ilima, it's going to be that courtyard. It's going to be a kitchen. It's going to be a workroom. It's going to be downstairs, an exhibition type, smaller, but exhibition gallery, all community space, all free for the residents to use. So we say, there's all this space. So we suggest that you create an events and exhibition committee. And certainly we have some rules and some guidelines and we'll give samples. When it comes to the events and exhibition, we are careful that there are some parameters, but sure. We never, even in the process, we never want to judge the artwork. So we say, form this committee, and here's the first task. We want you to be part of you. We need you to be part of planning the grand opening. This
so
is
with
how
some
they
of
empower.
Your established projects, what happens?
Well, so in Mesa, they started having meetings. They started having
farther down, maybe a few years later. What do you find happens in these communities where you've planted such a seed?
Well, I would say, how can I say it? We have a project in Sailboat Bend, our Sailboat Bend project in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The artists are active. They've engaged. They bring in they open their doors. It's so many of our projects, Seattle too. But people open their doors for First Fridays, for monthly open studios. They have cookouts and parties just privately, and they open their doors so that they're able to sell or do market kind of, how can I say it? They invite the community in, and in that way find networking opportunities and new clients or connections. They collaborate with each other, and so that I can think of, artists in Minot, North Dakota, a writer and a vocalist came together and ended up doing a children's book that wasn't necessary, or no, painter and a vocalist, but they came together and did a children's book. One did the illustrations, one did the words, and I don't think that was anything they envisioned that would be something they would do together.
What kind of effect is there on the surrounding community? Have you noticed any?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, how can I say it? Artists will always bring that economic impact. They'll always bring vibrancy. They'll always draw, whether it's, and this is, you know, this is Honolulu, so it's probably not the same thing here, but wherein it brings in the coffee shops and additional restaurants and, how can I say it, when it adds to the vibrancy of drawing people to that place. And the difference is when artists do that in many areas, hence why we exist and why we've grown, when it happens in other areas, it just becomes gentrified. Then the artists aren't there. You know, I think about New Orleans. That's a huge, you know, parallel draw of tourism, and yet the artists can't even live where the city is depending on their work. And so to be there and in the heart of Treme that has a long, deep history is so close to the heart of where all the tourists are, that's a good thing. So it works for the artists, it works for the community, it works for the economic impact and development of an area, which is why there are lots of cities that are like, we understand. We understand and celebrate really what a positive impact just having artists in an area does for a city or state.
Are you, you're finding now that there's interest from counties or, you know, say even more here in Honolulu for future projects like this?
Yes, absolutely. Because that's where I've seen the shift, you know. I've been at ArtSpace now 21 years, and it used to be the artist saying, oh, we need help, we need a space. Now it's more like mayors, cities, or states going, you guys have a model. We need consulting. We need advice. Or we need you to come in and do this project. This is our vision. And our vision is arts and culture focused. And part of that we can see. And so, yeah. So there have been fun stories. And that's where I don't like to name names. But there have been fun stories where it's like, where city level government people, you know, mayoral or city council, where they're like, how'd you get an arts-based project? You know, how'd you guys get in with them? Because, you know, it is. It's a combination of a really thoughtful process and the patience to work through that process to do it right. So we do our best to get it right, and sometimes that takes a little longer.
But it does have a ripple effect.
Yes, yes. And I'm so excited for what Ola Kailima will be, mostly because our buildings, we build buildings. That's our core work, right? But our buildings are... how can I say it? The creative spirit there has everything to do with the residents, right? So it's just so exciting when that's the best part of my job is to do the artist selection interviews and just talk story and just hear what artists are doing and what they're thinking of doing, and then to talk to them 10 and 15 years later and see how they've grown or how they've changed or this or that, because it is the artists that reflect exactly. That's why everyone... at ArtSpace, all levels of ArtSpace, that's what drives us. We'll have different voice of saying it, but our mission is what drives us. It is the impact of our work with the artists and what artists' impact is within the community and in the broader world generally. As change makers, you know, consciously or subconsciously, artists will always impact the world. And quite frankly, the more it offends you, the more they're probably having an impact, right? So it's not just about loving the art or thinking it's pretty. It is the words and the voice that we are touched by. And when it challenges us, you know.
Need to listen to that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. So you mentioned artist selection committee. How are artists going to get into here? They have to qualify, of course,
right.
For those. You have with the basic HUD requirements. Then what? Is there a selection process?
Right. Yes. Yeah. So
there's
a
lottery.
They submit,
though.
Right. So the applications are available now, so people can download or go pick up their application from EAH Housing. But you want to fill out an application. Ideally get on the interest list so you get updates. If there's any information we want to share, that EAH can share that. But you fill out the application, you submit it, you want to make sure it's complete. There are three parts, and it may be a little confusing, but there's, you know, one sheet that says, I identify as an artist. Yes, I or a member of my household, so child two, is an artist. That's one form. Pretty standard rental application, but 7 pages. And then and then you release to do a criminal background. Anyways, once you get that submitted by January 22nd, then we will do a housing lottery drawing. EH will do that on the 29th, and there's a whole process to that.
What does that mean?
Well,
all of the people who've applied will be put into one basket, and yeah. What?
Yeah, and kind of an electronic basket, because uh-huh. This is a requirement
HUD
from
requirement?
The state here. No,
state requirement.
Of, yep.
For
state of Hawaii.
Housing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And so, and there will be witnesses. Everyone uh-huh. will sign. But yes, you know, hopefully we have like 500 to 800 applicants in
okay.
this pool, and so there'll be a whole lottery drawing, and then
lottery. How many?
Of whoever submits by January 22nd.
How many will you be drawing?
All of them.
Wait, now you're going to put all the applicants into a pool.
Well, it's not right, but it's not a, how can I say, it's not like we're having a public meeting and
no.
picking out of a
no,
basket,
no.
but electronically, everyone who submits by January 22nd will be part of the lottery
okay.
drawing.
Okay.
So if it's 564 uh-huh. people, it will draw down to 564.
Okay.
I'm hoping for like 800.
Okay.
And then each of those applicants will be notified as to where they are in the lottery. You're number one, you're number 500, you're number 252.
Okay.
Whatever number you are, you'll be notified. And I always tell applicants, don't worry about where you are, because it's always hard to tell how many people will qualify or not qualify, how many people we have. We have 51 bedrooms, 32 bedrooms, 4 3 bedrooms. Well, what if the first, I'm just making this up, but what if the first 55 people all want 3 bedrooms? Well, only the first 4 of those 55 are going to get that, and the same thing. So it becomes very complicated. But the lottery, based on the lottery drawing, those applicants, everyone will be notified where they are. Then those applicants will be, EH Housing will call them, set up a meeting, come in. There'll be more information. If you have not done affordable housing before, it can feel really invasive. It can feel like, oh, my God, why do they want so many questions? And I have to give bank statements, and I have to give pay stubs, or I make all my money, but I don't. It's not like I have an employer because I have 3 jobs doing this. Then you have to fill out self-employment forms. And so these are, you know, EH staff have the expertise to know which forms and how to get the right information to verify the income. Once that's done, if people income qualify, then they're going to be passed to artist selection. And that's just a simple, I shouldn't say simple, because some people get a little nervous, but it should be fun. But then you're scheduled for an artist selection interview. It's just 30 minutes with a committee of 3 to 5 people, because we don't want to make it too intimidating, right? It's too many people in the room. It feels too formal. But 3 to 5 people, one arts-based representative, and then people from, at a minimum, one arts-based representative. But then we are in the process of putting together a list of local community people. We certainly want to get cultural practitioners or, you know, or kumus, but you know what I mean, people who are not applying for the housing, but we want people who are local to be part of our panel as volunteers. And then, then the artist just sits down or stands or perform whatever the artist wants to do. But it's going through a series of 9 questions. They're easy. It's mostly around sharing your art form, knowing that we do not judge the artwork.
Are
we do not judge it.
Questions available beforehand?
No.
Okay.
And they're not available because the artist selection process is part of Fair Housing too. It's another layer we put on the application process. So of course it's available to the committee, but they're the same questions. Just like the application, you have to be very careful about fair housing law. They're the same questions for every applicant, and then
but we really, really need to know what this process is.
Okay, so in a nutshell, it's apply. Make sure you get your application in, and then wait to hear about the lottery drawing. Then artist selection process, very easy and very clear. And then people will be assigned units and told when to move in.
Wow.
And then, of course, there's always some complications in there. But, I mean, not complications, but there's timing and logistics and, you know, details that come up between parking and which unit where and all of those details. And those we will all talk through, or we will have EH talking through. My biggest message that I want to tell people is that even if you don't think you qualify, you should apply. There is no fee to apply. Get in the application. If you are a creative person in any realm, if you have any affinity to this and want to live in a creative community, get in your application, no fee to apply. We will walk you through the process. EH Housing is an expert in this, and we'll just keep you informed. And it's such an amazing opportunity.
It is.
And even if you miss the deadline, then still apply, because we're going to keep an artist and non-artist wait list. Anyone can apply to affordable housing project. This is going to be the kind of project we want to have all artists on the wait list, because they will always go above non-artists. And our artist definition is broad and inclusive. So
okay. We'll look for on your website for all of this. But help me with this now. So every single person who submits an application will be given a number through the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And then each of those people will meet in sequence with someone from EAH, mm-hmm. who will ascertain their eligibility.
Right. Who will work with them to identify their income sources so that they can be verified. And once we know how much someone's income is, then we can see if they qualify, if they're under the maximum.
So, then they'll go to a half-hour interview with 3 to 5 people.
Mm-hmm.
So all the people who qualify then would go to an interview with 3 to 5 people. And ultimately, actually, that group of 3 to 5 people will determine the 84 who will eventually be allowed in.
Well, they will determine the artist preference. And so, you know, it's always up to the individual who goes through the process to actually sign the lease. Yeah. So ultimately, I would say applicants decide. But the artist selection committee determines the artist preference only. They have nothing to do with the income, nothing to do with criminal background.
Of course not. Yeah. I see. Okay. So it's a selection committee that mm-hmm. will be basically populating the building. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay. Great. Well, I think we've gone through a lot here. Thank you so much. And it's really been inspiring.
Yes. No, it's wonderful to be here. So aloha for the opportunity. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to see it open.
Okay. Me too.